All right, man, let's shift gears.
That's my quarterback.
Here. We're talking about Kirk Cousins all day long. Kirk Cousins, first of all, man, congratulations, NFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Second time.
You balled out in Tampa. It's Dukes and Bell, and we are happy to have you on. Let's start there. Can we play Tampa every week?
No, man. You know, honestly, coming out of the first game, there was a little bit of a, you know, is this repeatable or what was it, a fluke? I don't know. I just didn't know. And, you know, certainly we didn't throw for half the yards we did for the week before, the time before. But it was good to be able to put together another strong performance. But, you know, as I just said earlier, and Coach Raheem has challenged us, is like, was that a game or is that your game? Mm. You know, and so the ability to, like, do it again and again and again is the challenge, and it's what allows you to be a great football team. So with it only being week 9, we just got so much out ahead to go get.
Seems like you and Zach Robinson on the same page. I mean, he'd never been an OC before, and you hadn't worked with him. Talk about the chemistry there and how everything really seems to be just rolling.
Yeah, I think it's a work in progress in the sense that, like, week 1 after the Pittsburgh game, I wouldn't have told you that we had great chemistry. So, like, it's a little bit of a...
Neither did we!
Yeah, right, exactly. So there's a little bit of, like, every week just trying to stack the experiences, have good conversations, ask good questions, get on the same page, and then see how that carries over the next week. And the same would be said for my teammates of, hey, Drake, I didn't know you were going to do that. Like, let's talk about that, because if you do that, I can get you the ball. I just wasn't aware. So every week trying to get more on the same page and believing that in doing that, we're going to be better and better, you know, as we move forward.
Kirk, how many off seasons, man, you guys spent down here? I mean, you've embraced the ATL. I mean, our fan base is all about it, right? Yeah. Kirk Cochains and all the things, the swag surf.
Yeah, right.
Trap lyrics.
Yeah, so, you know, it's like, oh, man, and it's funny because I don't know how much of this stuff you see. I know you're focused on what you're doing, but it's like, man, Kirk has embraced us. And it's like there's something cool about this. But you already had a vibe, didn't you? How much time did you spend down
here?
Yeah,
it was the winter of 2015 was our first off season where we committed to being down here the whole time, and then basically went, like, I think till, man, 2020, 2021, something like that. We were here basically that whole time.
In the off season?
In the off seasons, yeah. We were always here and just stayed in Johns Creek, Alpharetta area mostly. And so I got pretty familiar with the area. Didn't make it up the Flowery Branch much, but certainly, you know, kind of that 400 corridor I was doing life on all the time, and found a lot of good bodywork people in Metro Atlanta. And so got pretty familiar. I mean, I tell people I went to those playoff games after the 2016 season because we were living here and we weren't in the playoffs in Washington. So I thought, I'm going to go watch these games. You know, I want to go see them play Seattle and see them play Green Bay. And so I was there and had a lot of fun being able to be in the stands and kind of take in what an Atlanta, you know, rise up fan base looks like in the Georgia Dome. I got to kind of see it, you know, as a part of it, so that now as a player, I sort of have a feel of what it is to be up there and watching. And maybe that's kind of where the whole swag serve appreciation came from.
Kirk Cousins is with us, guys. That's our quarterback live inside the Ticketmaster Studios. We were talking before the show about, like, Netflix coming to you and, you know, I guess Omaha Productions, Peyton Peele, and doing quarterbacks, which our first real exposure to you. I'm like, man, what a likable guy. I mean, it seems like man of the people, taking the kids to the Twins game and having just regular seats, all that stuff. But becoming a leader in a locker room, I mean, you don't just walk in and go, okay, guys, I'm the man.
Right.
You got to obviously earn it, but it just seems like it comes naturally to you.
Yeah, it's you know, it was interesting because I did it once going from Washington to Minnesota, and there were things I learned that I wanted to do again in that transition coming here, and then there were things I didn't want to do again. I want to learn from the good examples and the bad examples, and so that kind of led and drove my decision making in March and April as to how I wanted to connect with these guys and how I wanted to get on the same page. And I wanted to be able to snap my fingers and have 6 years of experience together, but we don't have that, and so it was this challenge of how do we have enough conversations and watch enough film and do enough routes together on the field that we can make up for that lost time. And it was hard to get there, but I feel that now we've stacked 8 games. I feel like we're starting to build that, and that's fun.
Kirk Cousins, our guest, guys, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Dukes and Bell live inside of the Ticketmaster Studios. Falcons Cowboys on Sunday. We'll talk with Kirk about that in a second. I asked Coach about the message you provided the team with last week. And again, I know that's, you know, stuff with your teammates, but one of the things that I heard that came out of that is being resilient. And I want to know what that meant to you to provide that message to the team. And Coach said, he told us you left him one of those messages, and he said, I had to listen to it.
Yeah, the voice memo, yeah.
He said, I had to listen to it again because he said it got cut off and I had to listen to it. But he said, you know, of course, as soon as I heard from my quarterback, yes, of course I want him to address the team. Kirk, talk about that, and what do you think it meant for this football team?
Yeah, I think it's a – I was – a little bit apprehensive of asking to speak because the last thing you want is to force it or to right. kind of have it be dead air up there. So I was like, Coach, I'm kind of asking, but I'm also sort of saying, does this message resonate? Does it? If it's not worth it, let's not. Don't put me up there. So, but he said, no, you're good. So, so we were able to share it, and yeah, I think it was about you know being resilient, getting back up. Tough times don't last; tough people do. That kind of a thing, and the job is still out there. You know, it was right. one game. We still got more to go get. So, we as players, yes, you do kind of celebrate a victory, but you also quickly kind of feel like, okay, what's next? Yeah. And the turning of the page is so real for us as players.
Being down in Tampa, I was talking about earlier with Coach, I got some good seats. I was sitting behind the bench and saw you, you know, talking to the teammates, talking to the offensive line, talking to Hinton when Chris Lindstrom goes down. The communication, and you talked earlier about building chemistry. The throw that you dropped into Darnell Mooney for the touchdown.
What's up, Darnell?
I mean, that's like John Madden game type stuff. I mean, walk us through that and what you see. I mean, is that something? Because it takes a little bit of nuggets to drop that ball in there.
Well, I just think, first of all, great coaching because they talked about, you know, coverage-wise, the scheme that we might get, the coverage we might get, you know, to be ready to work Mooney. And sure enough, we got the look that was a possibility. And then Darnell has to run a great route. I mean, he has to corner, post, and create space from the corner and then has to set an angle because even breaking out of it, I'm going, is he going to set the angle that I need him to get behind Winfield? And he did. And so then I was able to throw it decisively. And then he just – you know, runs underneath it and has set so much separation. So he's a great route runner. He's very twitchy. He showed it on a choice route early in the game, and I got hit on the throw and wasn't able to make it. But, I mean, if you go back and watch the tape, what he can do at separating on that choice route, it's pretty special. And as a point guard distributor, how I view myself, I just want to get the ball in these guys' hands because they do such a good job getting open and running great routes.
Kirk Cousins, who's your buddy in the league, man? Who's your quarterback? Buddy, if you have one.
Quarterback
that,
buddy?
That you call and you text because we all just assume, and I'm talking about generally speaking, fans like, oh, they know each other. They dapped each other up after the game.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Yeah. Is there somebody you're like, man, I wish I would have saw that. Did you see that?
Usually it's the guys that you played with or alongside who then go on to another team. So like a Taylor Heinicke you know, may reach out and say, hey, I saw you guys played this team. Do you have any thoughts? Or a Jake Browning in Cincinnati who I was with in Minnesota. So it's guys who were in the room together that tends to be those conversations because we can kind of speak the same language. That, hey, remember when we did this in 2019 and we could do that again this week. So you build those relationships. And what's fun this year is just kind of like a Nathan Peterman who's been around the league and I had only known him from a distance to now have him in the quarterback room. You can kind of talk about some shared experiences. Remember that game we played you guys that year and different things. And so it's fun to kind of have those shared stories.
Kirk Cousins is with us, guys. As we said, two-time NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Now with your first place Falcons. When you took off on that third down, I mean, everybody, man. Falcon fans, our hearts were in our throats. And then we'll get to the quarterback sneak in a second. But so now you're the dual threat weapon, Kirk Cousins.
I got fooled a little bit on the coverage and the read. And so then that's led me to try to use my legs. But what's funny is Ray McLeod is open. If you watch the tape, I'm running and he's running right into my field of vision. If I just if I just drop it to him, we got a way better play. So I know it's fun that I ran. I know it's fun that we got the sneak and we got the conversion and whatnot. But I was reminded again, there's a reason you're a pocket passer, because when you're a pocket passer, there's a guy wide open right over the ball that could get you a much bigger gain. So it goes back to just being a distributor and a point guard. But there's no doubt with the way pockets and pass rushes are these days, you do need to have that moment or two there where you seize part, you take off. And I have missed more than my fair share of opportunities this year to do that. And I was just glad finally I took off and ran once.
Yeah. Did you hear all of us going, no, Kurt, don't do it.
I screwed up a play earlier in the game when I should have just handed it off. And I went to throw a possible run alert and I was screwed up. And so to fix it, I just had to take off and run. And I could hear Raheem's voice in my head saying, no, get down. And so I thought, after running for a second, I thought, who am I kidding? And I just got down. And let's just live to play the next play. You just kind of get up and you look at the sideline like, I completely screwed that play up.
Right.
Hopefully I can redeem it on the next one.
And not to put your business out there, but it just seemed like the confidence, like an Achilles injury is a serious injury, but you just feeling you can do everything you need to do now?
Yeah, I think it's something, like you said, that they told me when I injured it, you know, you're cleared after 9 months. They said you'll probably be back to yourself at 12 months, but you can play at 9. And so I was always kind of viewing August 1st as great. I can get back on the field August 1st. Thankfully, the way we were able to do it, I still got some practice reps in the spring when I was at 6, 7, 8 months. But 12 months, which was last week, is really when you feel like you know, you're turning another corner.
Right now, Kirk, 68% completion rate, 2106 passing yards, 14 touchdowns. And we've been talking about this, and I know you're looking week to week. But, like, Mike and I compare this, and we say if you had a baseball card, right, from the time you became a full-time starter, I think 15, because you started, I think, six games a year before that, this is kind of who you've been. You've been 35, 40 touchdowns, 4,000-yard guy. Why? How have you been consistent considering the coaching changes, the players around you, things that have gone on? You come here, new environment. Looks like we're going to be in a good spot when it's all said and done at the end of the year. We're going to be right where we think Kirk Cousins is.
Yeah, I think what I've been fortunate is as the coaches have changed and as the players around me have changed, I've still had great coaches and great players around me. So I'll be the first one to say if you surround me with coaches who aren't that great and players who aren't that great, you're not going to see much production. So I've always tried to be strategic when I left Washington. I'm not leaving Washington unless I'm going to a place that has great coaches and great players. And the same thought here. I'm not leaving Minnesota unless I'm going to a place that I think has great coaches and great players. Right. So very fortunate to have been surrounded by good people. And I think that's none truer than this year in terms of when I drop back, the people protecting me, the people running routes for me, the people I'm handing off to, and then the coaches on the sideline who are creating the plan and coaching me. I just feel like I'm being given a chance to be successful.
Kirk, how emotional is it going to be for you when you return to Minnesota?
Yeah, we'll get there when we get there. I think it's still so, it feels like so far away with how these games in the NFL are like dog years. You know, you got a long ways to go. But certainly it'll be something that means a lot to me. There's so many people in that building who mean a lot to me. And, you know, but again, that feels so far away right now.
Right. How or what should we know about these Cowboys, man? I mean, we were talking with Coach Rob about this. Mm-hmm. I said, Coach, they're going to be desperate, right? They've lost four in a row.
Yeah, well said.
So you've been in these situations, but what do you see and maybe concerns as we get ready for Sunday's matchup?
You said it. I think they're going to come out with everything they have, and that's always a dangerous football team. I just think they have too many people on their football team that have played in really big games and really big moments and delivered in those moments, and I think that's also something you got to be aware of. And, you know, I know there's going to be some Cowboy fans in the crowd too, you know, so there's that factor. And, you know, I just think they play with great team speed. They're fast, and you feel that all game long, and that's kind of what I expect on Sunday.
All right, first time we met you at camp, just wrapping up, we were asking us about the NHL, possibility of coming to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, looks like 2028, we'll have a crack at it. Would you like to be a minority owner?
I would love it. I just we can have a whole conversation maybe in the offseason about Atlanta sports and where this hockey thing is headed. I'm interested to see how it all plays out. I don't know what the latest is, but man, I really hope we can get a team and you know, the Flames and the Thrashers and that whole deal. I think there's potential here, and I think the fans, the people here would really eat it up.
How much different is it for the boys to be cheering for you in this uniform than what they were accustomed to?
You know, they were just young enough that they didn't ingrain themselves too much because they were young enough where they can transition. I think, though, this team, it's going to be harder if hopefully it never comes to it.
Right.
But if we ever had to move on, that's where you're like, okay, the boys really learned that, you know, Dad's an Atlanta Falcon. And so hopefully I can play my best football and they can remember me as Atlanta Falcon for good. But it's so fun. It was a dream of mine when I was younger and first got married. And I told my wife, you know, I want to play long enough that I can have kids who remember Dad playing. Mike Singletary was a youth football coach of mine.
Oh, wow.
And Mike retired really before his son Matt was old enough to really be a part of it. And even though his dad was a Hall of Famer, it wasn't like he could say, oh, I remember my dad in the locker room, remember my dad making that stop on fourth down. And so I always remember that and thought, you know, I would like to play long enough that my boys can remember it. We're getting close. My older son's 7. He came to the Tampa game. I think he's at that place. My younger son's 5. He has no clue. So I got to last a little longer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's special, man. And you're playing special. We're enjoying
it. So much fun for the fans.
We are, man. Yeah. Continued success. Let's go get one on Sunday, and thanks for stopping by.
That's right. 1-0 this week.
That's it. Right. Kirk Cousins, guys.
Yep.
Thanks, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on Dukes and Bell. Our quarterback. We're talking about my quarterback.